Buccaneers fans, this is the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Ira Kaufman, 50 years in the sports journalism business. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. And Bill Curry Ford, thank you, Bill Curry Ford, 65 years in Tampa, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, family-owned dealership, fourth generation. GM Sean Sullivan is a Bucks fan. He is ready to help in any way he can. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com or at the dealership. Beautiful showroom. It's the Giant, as it's called. Biggest service drive in Florida. 100 loaner vehicles, mobile service at your home. And right now they've got their 0% financing, no money down, zero payments for 90 days, and 2 years complimentary maintenance on new Ford vehicles. Check out all the details, BillCurryFord.com. We'll talk more about them later. And storm season is here. Florida's elite restoration has to be in your mind, but disasters happen every single day. Flood, water damage is a killer, fire, mold, storm damage, whatever it might be. They are your first phone call. They're a one-stop shop. They'll restore your property. They can make repairs and remodeling if that's what it takes. And more important, they have decades of experience working in the insurance industry. So when you need an insurance claim, you need someone being your offensive coordinator to make sure you get what's coming to you and everything is done properly, because the insurance companies, they don't want to pay you. Not what you always are deserving to receive. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Check out their website. Check out their 5-star across the board Google reviews. Stunning. And they are responding to customers across the Bay Area 24/7. Owner Josh Martin has that Ira Kaufman discount. If you mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira when you first call, after your free inspection, if you need them, you're going to get $500 back if you sign up to use their services. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Lee, the sad news today is no Ira Kaufman. Ira has been ill for the past handful of days. We'll let him tell everybody about that, but we're giving him healing vibes. He's on the mend. He's definitely getting better, and we hope to have him back here on the podcast this week. So the poor listeners of the Ira Kaufman podcast are stuck with us filling in for the sage, because there's no replacement for the sage. One day we might try to find a sage backup, but there's no backup for Ira. We wish him well, and he'll be back real soon. So, Lee, let me get right after this, because a lot of fans are in complete freak-out mode about Jalen McMillan and the whole concept of playing guys in the preseason, not playing guys, who do you play, who do you don't play, Teddy Bridgewater, who do you pair up, and all this other stuff. And then what's going to happen with the Bucs receiving core, with Chris Godwin being shrouded in mystery, and anybody who says he's not shrouded in mystery isn't paying attention. Guy's been out 10 months for an injury that some guys return from literally in 5 months, and he hasn't practiced. No sign of him running, and no definitive word from the team or making a doctor available. So the Bucs set out this offseason, even though they say it wasn't planned, they set out this season to make sure they had incredible depth at receiver, and now they don't. So we'll get into that. Lee, you have an opening thought there, and you know, we'll go back and forth with it.
Well, I mean, you teed me up with a couple items. First is I won't go on my anti-preseason rant, but the McMillan thing is exhibit A why preseason needs to be abolished. They don't need it. College gets by just fine without it. High school gets by just fine without it. Yeah, they have some states, not all. Some states have these jamborees where they might play 2 quarters. There again, they play, you know, kids will be working at Taco Bell in a few months. It's just, there's no logical reason other than revenue that the NFL has, and it blows my mind that the NFL and the owners, specifically the owners, because they are the NFL, that they watch their major investments go out and get hurt for no good reason. I mean, let's be honest here. Would anybody have said anything if Jalen McMillan got 2 practices off, hypothetically? No, not one word. But a preseason game, oh my God, oh, the calamity. No, they don't need freaking preseason. The only thing preseason is good for is revenue and getting dudes hurt. This is why I'm such an advocate for the 20-game regular season, because I will get rid of preseason. And someone on Twitter asked Joe Bucks, man, What, would you rather have the guy get hurt in the first half of the first game? Yeah, because that means he's producing something. He's on the field in a real game, helping his team win a real victory.
Yeah, look, there's so many ways to look at it. And the goal is to be better than the other teams, to win week one and then win week two and go from there. So everybody's looking for an edge. And the reason I say that is because, look, it's logical to think that if my team plays a half a game, my starters play a half a game in the second preseason game and a quarter in the third, they're going to be sharper on opening day. That's logic.
You would think.
That's logic. And that gives you an edge on opening day, and that matters.
Well, if you take away the edge from everybody, then it's even.
Right. And it's safer. But as long as you're going to have preseason, you're going to have teams saying, well, hey, this is how I think I can get an edge, by playing in preseason. Some coaches do, some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Bucks have to field a roster for preseason. But eventually you'll probably see a team that says, you know what, we're not playing anybody with a name whatsoever, and we're going to run the ball 90% of the time like it's 1973.
What wouldn't surprise me is in the very near future, the next NFLPA agreement, they'll come to some agreement where only players on rookie contracts or free agents can play in a preseason game.
Well, I think ultimately preseason has value for the teams.
Revenue.
Revenue. There's also the just sort of a dry run for a real game for all the broadcast crews and all the people behind the scenes of a game. And, of course, seeing the young players is valuable for the guys that you've never seen play before. And don't
like
even...
they don't have film of that from practice? From joint practices,
well,
really?
But they don't tackle.
In joint practices, they will.
It's not real tackling to the ground. The hit that Jalen McMillan got, mm-hmm. he never would have gotten that in a joint practice. They would have had rules. You don't hit the quarterback. Quarterbacks don't have fear in their eyes. It is different. And, of course, the NFL would say, well, hey, you can tackle to the ground in practice if you want to.
They do.
You can do all the things you really say you're afraid to do. So it's messy. Look, the McMillan thing specifically, he is a number three receiver going into opening day. He was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the field. So, you know, he's not necessarily a starter, but he was an important player. They chose to play him. And they have paid the price. He's going to be out half the season, serious neck injury. And my concern is that you have a serious neck injury like that. There's recovering physically, and then there's recovering mentally.
Sure.
The guy might not be ready to...
Skittish.
Exactly. And that's a huge problem. Just like Chris Godwin. I don't expect him to be back 100% this year. No way. He's had other injuries where it took him, he felt two full seasons to get back 100% physically. There's no way he's going to be Chris Godwin of last year on the field.
That's fair.
This year. It's just not possible.
He wasn't when he came back from his knee injury.
No. And he got a little better the next year, a little better
yes.
the next year, which is what the Bucks are banking on. But right now, you've got Mike Evans going into opening day and Emeka Egbuka. Most teams aren't going to be that good at 1-2.
True.
And Sterling Shepard at number three, as long as he's healthy, is a very capable number three. Not going to be top 10 in the league, but he's probably close to middle of the pack on talent level
mm-hmm.
if he's healthy. And, of course, there's the camaraderie with Mayfield. So I'm not worried about it for week one. But beyond that, do you think the Bucks are going to go get a receiver?
I would think they're looking into whether they get one, from my understanding. And in August, Steve, I have absolute tunnel vision with the Bucks. I don't know what the hell's going on with the rest of the NFL. Shoot, I don't even know what day it is sometimes. I'm getting like 5 hours of sleep. I'm getting up at 5:30 in the morning, so I beat traffic to get here. It's crazy. I don't get to bed till midnight. So I'm like full throttle Bucks. Although I do understand there might be two or three other teams looking for a receiver, I guess injuries, Vikings being one of them. So it's not like the Bucks are the only ones. I just threw out in a story the other day, Amari Cooper. I don't know how much he would cost, but I would think he'd be a nice veteran backup, you know, like a number four, number five guy. Of course, does Light want to pay? Cooper's not going to be coming for free. There's also a reason why he's unemployed. But I want to get to something real quick, Steve, about McMillan's injury and the freak out. Before I get on Bridgewater, how come, am I the only one that has written at that camp meet cornerback, Daryl Porter, not the stiff catcher of years ago, but Daryl Porter, a camp meet cornerback, undercut McMillan like that? Do was that okay? I mean, no, everybody seems to be piling on Bridgewater for some crazy reason. But Porter, it's like, okay, no. He didn't, he wasn't no dirty here. He didn't know he was going to put the guy upside down. No, he was just fine.
I don't think it was a dirty hit.
Under his knees, he's mid-air. You know, we all know what's going
to
happen.
Well, I mean, what's he supposed to do?
If it's a regular season game, you know, it's just this nonsense. That gets me back to my original point. This nonsense preseason game just drive me bananas.
Well, certainly within the rules, what happened there. And the guy's being asked to play 100%. That's what his boss is saying, go play 100%. So I can't fault him for that. It makes it more sad what happened to McMillan, more senseless and more ugly. You know, it highlights it even more by who did it and how it was done. But I don't know. I don't think you can knock the guy.
Now on Bridgewater. Man, people are just going bananas about Bridgewater. I can't go there. Yeah, he threw the ball. Are we suggesting that every quarterback is perfect? Absolutely not. And this crazy talk like, oh, he's rusty. He has no rapport with the receivers. We were both there at the game. You saw that touchdown pass to Ibuka. That looked like a guy that didn't have any rapport. That looked like a guy that was rusty.
I'll go back to what we say about the pro football frauds. We don't know if Jalen McMillan cut that route back a half a yard short.
Exactly.
So you can't sit there and blame Teddy Bridgewater for hanging his receiver out to dry. You can if you want to, but it's really not fair. He's just asking to do his job. But I do get the sentiment that, hey, Todd Bowles put him out there knowing that he hasn't played. He's not sharp. That may lead to exposing a receiver to injury because, you know, you put the receiver in a bad spot. You're not Tom Brady throwing a perfect low outside ball where no one's going to catch it other than the receiver and no one's going to get hurt. I get that part of it, but bottom line is I'm sure they only put in the playbook what Bridgewater worked on and knew.
Yeah.
So as Todd Bowles says, oh, you got to play football. You can't worry about injuries. Yes, Todd, you can worry about injuries. You should worry about injuries.
Which is why Mike Evans and Mayfield aren't playing.
But what are we going to do? I don't know how much you can kill Bridgewater. You could talk about it, but lay off the guy.
You hit the absolute nail on the head. How do we know, and has anybody with the Bucs said, McMillan ran a good route? No one said that, and no one ever will because they didn't want to throw McMillan under the bus. But did he run a good route?
He might have run a perfect route. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And that's the thing. It takes two to tango. You could have a perfect pass, and that perfect pass looks like garbage because the guy ran a wrong route or didn't run a crisp route.
Sure.
And vice versa.
And let's, you know, since we're talking about Teddy Bridgewater, what changed his career? He had a brutally gruesome knee injury with the Vikings in practice. Guys get hurt in practice.
Non-contact, if I remember right.
Yeah, dudes get hurt all the time. Look, the biggest news of the day for me yesterday was Caleb McGarry, the $15 million a year right tackle on the Falcons, a guy protecting Michael Penix, who's a lefty, his blind side, an established good player. He was carted off. Now they haven't announced what his...
Don't you say that. You're not supposed to say that, you know. Dol Patrick does not want you to say that.
He was taken out, and they haven't announced his injury yet, but... That can't be good. His backup recently had surgery, and you know, that kind of levels the playing field with Tristan Wirfs is going to be out. But the receiver front, I don't know what they're going to do. I think it will be telling. If they don't do anything, that'll be very telling. But I don't see how they don't go get a receiver. I understand people.
If you have Super Bowl aspirations, yeah.
I understand people like Ryan Miller. Okay, great. The guy caught a dozen balls last year. He tries real hard and has some talent. Knows the offense, but he is not a number three receiver in the National Football
League. No.
So you got three. Now, I hate to eliminate Trey Palmer, but I'm not going to talk to him on this podcast because the Bucs seem so down on him. Seemed weeks ago and even recently that they are not planning to have him on the roster. They love Tez Johnson. That's the guy they want to be the returner. And we'll see where Palmer fits in, but he does have experience and he may be valuable going forward. You got nothing behind him for a while. This offense is a high-powered offense, high-octane offense. Aside from the fact that Mike Evans, Sterling Shepard, they're both 32. I don't know if they can play, enhance their play load. And Ibuka, he's still a rookie. And I'm sure he'll be fine. He's in a perfect spot, number two guy, playing opposite a Hall of Famer. He's in a great spot. But you got to go get a receiver. I don't see how, if you're serious, that you don't go get a receiver when you said all offseason, we love this receiver depth. It's critical.
If you're serious. Well, keywords there.
They're serious.
How serious?
They're serious, but we're going to find out how serious.
Bingo.
They have the salary cap room.
Yep.
Now, they want to use the salary cap room on re-signing maybe one guy before the season or roll over the money to next year, which you can do. But they have enough talent to deal. If they want to make a trade, they've got money to sign a guy that may fall off. You know, if, you know, that's a late cut. You know, hey, it's a team where, hey, this rookie's coming on and this guy hasn't had the greatest camp. He's making $8 million, $6 million, $12 million, whatever it is. You know, obviously I'm not rooting for them to sign a lower level backup or a potential number three guy for big money if they don't have to. But, man, I think they got to get a receiver.
You know what I would say right now, don't you? Trade Jamel Dean.
Could happen.
You think so?
I don't think so, but it could
happen.
It's
possible. Yeah, it's true.
If the right deal's on the table for a receiver, I'd argue that you need that quality depth at receiver more than Jamel Dean.
Well, since we're talking receivers, the elephant in the room here, Mike Evans' traditional summer hamstring. Hasn't happened yet. Hope it never happens, but at 32, and he has a rich history of having hamstring issues in the summer, I'm walking on eggshells, man, for Evans. I really am.
I think we're pretty well through it because technically, I guess.
I'm crossing my fingers.
He's not playing on Saturday night. So Thursday's practice, fingers crossed, 100%. He might, maybe he'll get the day off. I don't know. But there's no practice Friday. So unless he has an issue Thursday morning, he got through the preseason.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't recall him ever having a hamstring issue in practice leading up to got through the preseason. So I don't know. But yeah, look, the whole thing is very dicey because the Bucs are banking on two 32-year-old guys right now to carry them through 2 months, really.
Probably 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. If Chris Godwin comes back week six as a shell of himself as he works his way back, man, you know, that's kind of nuts. So look, the Bucs are going to have to rely on the running game, which should be there. And obviously, I think you want Charlie Heck run blocking more than you want him pass blocking. Rashad White, knock on wood, thankfully, he's back from his injury. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys can catch the ball. Josh Grizzard, you know, can get these guys out in space, and they could do a lot of damage. They've proven it, that they can both catch the ball. You got your tight end back. You know, I'm not worried about the offense, but, man, over time, you got to have that depth. Otherwise, you're going to lose a game here or there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to Seattle and, oh, you know, Sterling Shepard hurt his quad and we're trying to win in the second half with Ryan Miller down the stretch. And, oh, we came up a little short. That can't happen.
What I would like to know, and I'm confident, you know, I've been told how the Bucs prepare for practice and games as far as, you know, medical issues. You pointed out Evans and Shepard at 32. How many extra snaps can they take that doesn't hurt them down the road? In December and January.
Well, we don't know. I don't even think they're going to push those guys. They just need more help. And, you know, Rakim Jarrett hasn't had a great summer.
Oh, I don't expect him on the team.
You've got Ryan Miller, who can play, but you can't...
He's a spot guy.
You can't put him in a role that he's not capable of. So
I apologize. I can't remember his name. All-pro safety with the Falcons. What you're talking about is I'm going to give you a perfect example. You know, Miller's not a bad guy. I'm not denigrating him at all. But he went out for a pass, and the safety with the Falcons, whose name escapes me, he was an all-pro. The Falcons traded for him last year. He got so out-muscled by this guy and got a pick in a key game and a one-score loss.
Yeah.
He just got absolutely schooled by this guy physically. Absolutely. I mean, because I had my binoculars, just happened to be in my line of vision, line of focus, and he just got just taken to the cleaners by this guy. Interception. The ball was in the Falcons' real estate. May have cost the Bucs a field goal, cost them a touchdown, and they lose a one-score game. Boom. Bates? Yeah.
But I know they have another good safety as well that they got last year, so that's the guy whose name I don't remember, but it doesn't really matter. The point was that when I remember that play specifically was, damn, why are they throwing to Ryan Miller?
Well, my reaction was, would you attack the ball and not wait for the ball to come to you?
So, look, the Bucs had a winning record last year without Chris Godwin. I think they'll be fine, but the depth is too flimsy for my taste, considering the team's aspirations. And we'll leave it there. We'll remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford presents Ira's Work. at joebucksfan.com. 0% financing, zero APR, zero money down. Now, APR and financing is the same thing, so I messed that up there. But zero payments for 90 days as well. Family name is Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com, 65 years, a family tradition. And be smart. Get to Florida's Elite Restoration today before you have that flood at your home, storm damage, fire, mold, whatever it is, they can handle it for you. But you have to be prepared to know who to call and know who to trust. 5-star Google reviews across the board. Family owned. They serve the entire Tampa Bay area across the state to Orlando and beyond. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. So, Lee, we're going to hope for the best on that stuff. But the Bucks, I think, are in good shape otherwise. Antoine Winfield coming back to practice. We're going to keep our fingers crossed that whatever he had was just a precautionary situation.
That really
situation.
Spooks me. Lower leg, and he had that ankle problem last year that destroyed his season.
I get being spooked. We don't know what it is, and could have just been a precautionary thing. The Bucks haven't been team transparency this year on injuries, to say the least, in my opinion. But the defense now, for me, Hassan Reddick, you are on notice. You are probably going up against a backup right tackle of the Falcons.
Maybe a third stringer.
On opening day. Come on.
You know,
Well, he's dropped in coverage an awful lot.
Yeah.
This year. Now, I get that maybe in training camp, because they're going to ask him to drop in coverage and he hasn't done it as much, maybe he's doing more of it.
That's what kind of thought, yeah.
To sort of get him used to it more. To be fair, he's been very good. He's made multiple plays dropping in coverage, some of which fans have seen on video, made a big one in Pittsburgh. In that final drive in the joint practice that they had, a near pick.
Are we allowed to say that?
I don't care.
I'm just jabbing the Steelers and their media protocols.
Nonsense with the Steelers. Stupid. Anyway, he's on notice. None of this no-show stuff. You know, Rich Eisen, I wrote up for Joe Bucks Fan. He's like John Gruden. I love everybody. Love that guy. Love him. Love him. Talk to him here. Love this guy. Love that guy. He's talking to Gerald McCoy, and McCoy's raving about Hassan Reddick making a big difference. And now they got the guy where they can rush four and this and that. And they're the big threat to the Eagles. And Eisen almost lost it on him. Was like, oh, come on. Does this guy want, he basically said, does this guy want to play? What the heck last year? And it is fair. I'm sorry. It is fair.
It's fair.
It's all a bunch of nonsense to say that, he was rusty, came in the middle of the year. Yeah, you're right. 5 games he played for the Jets with a bye week in between. And, okay, that's how you shake off your rust. 5 weeks and a bye week. The final 5 games, he was awful.
If someone wants to tell me he checked out because he didn't want to be there, I'll buy it.
Is that a guy that fits the Bucks culture?
Well, that's just it.
Is that when's it going to
turn
culture?
On? That's just it. When's it going to turn on? When's it going to turn it off? I hope the Bucks, being a contender, that turns it on, that he wants to be on a winner.
Because he didn't turn it on to make big money last year. If he finished last year with like a terror, with fresh legs because he didn't play half the year, and he had Quinnen Williams, all-pro defensive tackle in there, and a 10.5 sack guy on the other side, if he had 4 sacks in the final 5 games, he would have made $25 million.
He probably wouldn't be here.
He wouldn't be here, and he would have gotten a multi-year deal somewhere. So he had a lot on the line then, too. I'm rooting for him. I think he's got his head on straight to start the season. People seem to love him. On a more positive note, Jason Kelce works for ESPN now, and he was in a segment of, your most intriguing teams. And I was intrigued that he chose the Buccaneers
really
as his most intriguing team, primarily because, in my assumption, is that he's played against him. He knows what's going on in that Eagles locker room, where he sees that, he knows that, hey, the Eagles are worried about the Bucs because they know how talented they are, know what they can do, know that Todd Bowles is Hurts is kryptonite. So I was pleased that Kelce chose the Bucs because he knows.
Well, I heard Kelce say, it was last year or the year before, Vita Vea forced him into retirement. He's like, I can't do this anymore. I can't block like this. I can't get beat up by this guy. I'm done. He actually said Vita Vea pushed him into retirement.
And I think he was only part tongue in cheek with that, but
But he, like you said, he knows the Bucks have talent,
yeah,
and that they can beat the Eagles.
And we know the Bucks have talent. I know they do, and that's why it's no excuses for Todd Bowles. None.
Uh-oh. Coaching hot seat?
Well, it's not my decision, but you know what?
That's a dodge. That's a dodge.
I'd put him on the hot seat if he doesn't win, because there's too much here. But he's not in the hot seat now. I don't think he's there now. But you gotta win. He's got too much talent. The offense should be too good. But we're going to see a lot of challenges for Josh Grizzard early, how he's going to approach this with the injuries. And, man, they got to get the most out of the running game, and they'll be fine.
If he navigates this minefield of the injuries and everything, and the Bucks have a really good offense, I can't imagine he's around next year.
I doubt it. But the Glazers, as just like with Liam Cohen, no matter what we want to say, they butchered retaining that guy. They had it in their hands.
Fumble.
And they fumbled the ball away. And I don't care what anybody says, if you went to Liam Cohen last year in December and said, you know what, Liam, we want to lock you up now. Put $10 million in your bank account now and make this happen.
You
got to
give us 2 years.
That's going to be a bonus, and this is what we want. And there's going to be a massive penalty if you breach this deal. And if you go on any interviews, you got to return that $10 million bonus.
So you can't do any clandestine interviews?
Yeah. So bottom line, I think it was in their hands. They lost it. But Grizzard may be better, and screw Liam Cohen for leaving. So,
what do you call him? El what?
El Serpiente, the snake. Lee, crazy time, exciting times. We all just want to get to opening day.
Yes.
Most fans will be listening to this on Thursday, which puts us 17 days from kickoff in Atlanta. And the Bucks should be a better team than Atlanta. And I know it's not a must win. The reality says it's not a must win, but they got to win. Got to win that game. You don't want to go to Houston Monday night. Odds are going to be against you. You're going to be an underdog, 0-2 with injuries and question marks and doubt. In that NFL top 100 series where Tristan Wirfs was like 28, whatever he came in at, I wrote that up the other day. Matthew Judon was there, the Falcons defensive end, who he's gone now, played there 1 year, is with the Patriots a lot of years. He talked about he could see a difference in Mayfield, just the confidence knowing Wirfs is on that field. And
wow.
I don't know how Wirfs not being there might tweak Mayfield a little bit.
Fair.
And they got to get off to that good start so they're not stuck in a hole and freaking Mayfield out, because he strikes me as a guy that if they're 0-2, he's going to press.
Yeah.
He's going to go Jameis, mm-hmm. And start doing stuff. All right, Lee, you got a final thought. Otherwise, we're out of here. And we'll say some more, send some more healing vibes to the Sage.
Pray for the Sage.
Pray for Ira.
And pray for Mike Evans' health and hamstrings.
Absolutely. That's a good one. And we're out. We'll be back later this week. Plenty of time left this week. Hopefully nothing wild happens.